morning. This is Lance Kenmore at the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here for working to make this happen. John, how is everything going with you?
Keeping busy.
Good. Well, you know, we got our extended week of summer, so I tell you what, I'm loving that. It's made it nice for showing houses.
Yeah, remember the deck we built? Now we're going back and replacing the boards that are cupping.
Uh-oh, already, huh? So, well, that home ownership never stops with...
So much for pressure-treated lumber.
So much for pressure-treated lumber.
But
so.
I digress.
You digress. Well, we have got... we always like to start with some real estate news, kind of see what's going on in the world of real estate. There's definitely a few items to talk about. On a local level, we always like to mix in a little bit of each. Some exciting projects on the real estate side finishing up. If you have not driven by and seen the new Cascade Natural Gas building that they built up on Grand Ridge, kind of behind Ranch and Home there. Cascade Natural Gas moving their corporate headquarters from Seattle to here.
Yep.
Beautiful new building, finished up, landscaping's in, they've been moving. Gosh, when you're driving by, just take a look at that. That's a lot of...
That is significant, too.
...dollars and new jobs into the community. They're moving, I think it said upwards of 80 people, you know, that they're moving from the west side over here. And so, once again, our growth just continues, and that's helping our commercial real estate values. And then the reason I mentioned it is those 80 people, they are buying houses and, and coming in.
And they're already contributing to the infrastructure because they've already signed on to help support the Tri-City Americans.
Well, great news.
There
so so all around, big, big win for the community and lots of good stuff happening. On a national level, boy, we don't even really, do we want to even talk about the housing news on a national level? Pretty dismal. One of the reasons we're having our show today, you've heard the promos. We are going to talk a little bit about short sales and foreclosure prevention and what you can do. The reason behind that is just simple. On a national level, there were more foreclosure stats in August that came out that those were increasing. We just can't help but see a little bit of that here, regardless of how well we've been doing. We will see people that need that help here for different reasons, so we'll talk a little bit about that today. And then every now and then, we will mention a piece of real estate news that just teaches people that a little planning ahead might help out in the long term.
Oh, goody. I love these.
There's that new city center. A lot of people from here take the Allegiant flight down to Las Vegas. There's the new Vidara Hotel at the city center.
And Allegiant has the brand new, you know, they make it real easy to get there.
Real easy to get there. Yeah. Another great thing about Tri-Cities, those direct flights. But if you are at the Vidara Hotel and you notice the building is curved, kind of has a special curve shape, and if you're sitting at the pool sunning yourself, at certain times during the day, they've noticed that the sun rays become very intensified, and that curved glass building projects, they call it the death ray, onto the pool.
Oh, wow.
So one gentleman was saying he was laying there sleeping, kind of out enjoying the sun. Next thing he knew, it was actually singeing his hair.
So it's kind of acting like, you remember the magnifying glass and the anthill?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
That's exactly what's happening.
I bet
happening.
It raises the temperature of the pool. Did they say how
so,
much it raises?
Well, they
it?
Said they're trying to work out these things and put film on the glass to fix it, but a little bit of a real estate joke there, but sometimes where you situate your house and where the afternoon sun is, it all makes a big difference. So so a little fun real estate fact we went in there. You might want to watch yourself.
That'll
when you,
show
when you're,
up on failblog.org.
Failblog.org, for sure. Well, we'd like to start off this week. We haven't talked to him for a couple weeks. He's had a busy summer, and he missed one or two of our scheduled shows. But I said it's time to get Ryan Sullivan back in here and update us on what's going on with insurance and what we might have forgotten about that we need to know about going into the fall. So here in the studio with us, Mr. Ryan Sullivan with State Farm Insurance. Welcome, Ryan.
How are you today?
Doing really good. So
I'm going to put him on one of those ads on TV.
When are you?
I saw some of the new ones.
I saw him on a bus the other day. I was following
Gary, isn't it?
I was following the bus, and I did see him out there.
Did his eyes move when you turned?
No. Well, what do we need to know about insurance?
My idea to talk about this morning was dirty little secrets in a homeowner's contract. Basically, what you as a consumer should know, but you may not.
Okay, very good. I mean, a lot of times, we talked about it. Well, one time I had you on the show, I had you review my policy because I told you quite honestly I'd never even read through it. So what are those little secrets that we need to know about in there?
A handful of them. Most insurance is sold with what's called a declarations page, which is just going to be the outline of if the house burns down, there's X amount of coverage for the building, your personal property. It's going to have an outline of your liability coverage, just the amount, right?
Right.
Whereas what most people don't know are their specific sublimits for certain perils inside the policy.
Okay.
So that's like the fine print.
Yeah, I usually found about 8 pages into your policy.
Wow.
Yeah, the declarations page or even a quote is just a summary page.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem being is it's a summary page is if what the insurance company, if a loss happens and the insurance company says we'll insure it, then we'll pay out these amounts.
Okay.
But what consumers need to be aware of is what is insured and what is not insured. And if there are any special sublimits on specific items.
Okay.
The two biggest items inside a homeowner's contract that where we see the most claims and where the most broken hearts, quite frankly, are mold coverage.
Gotcha.
And asbestos.
Ooh, I haven't heard that word in a while, and
especially
I don't think I want to.
Older homes. Well, you'd be surprised. You know, I think we talked about that before. You're talking some homes in the 70s, even early 80s, that still have asbestos components in them.
Exactly. And there are sublimits inside, and depending, each insurer is different how they'll cover. Let me give you an example. I use the wash machine supply line example all the time on the show.
Right.
So you guys go on vacation. Your house fills up full of hot water. You don't know. You get back a week later. You've got hot water pumped into your house for a week with the windows closed.
Yep.
Heat's generating. You have a house full of mold.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain major insurance companies that are going to walk out and they're going to write you a check for $5,000 or $10,000 and say, hey, you maxed out the policy. Have a nice day. Even though you may have your house insured for $400,000.
I don't even believe that when he says this. When you come on the show, like I'm sure there's other listeners out there that tell me that. Like you're telling me there are people in the Tri-Cities now that have policies where that is the case.
Probably about 80%.
I don't even believe it. I mean, when he comes on the show and tells me this type of stuff, I mean, would you believe that, Scott?
80%? That's unreal.
So maybe 70. Yeah, it's well over half.
No, that's very tough to believe.
So, and a hot water supply line from a washing machine breaking is a real possibility. And
you're
people,
talking high pressure.
And people being on vacation and being gone for 3 or 4 days, yeah, that's a major issue.
Even when you're talking multi-level properties, you know, if you're talking like a Rambler basement, I mean, that can do massive damage.
Correct.
Okay.
Or
so.
if in commercial properties, if you got somebody who owns, say, a fourplex, two on the bottom, two on the top,
right.
The wash machine on the top goes, it's going to fill the underline. Then you got four people displaced. I mean, there's some serious issues.
Okay. Wow. So people need to check their policy and make sure that that situation like that would be covered.
Sounds like they need to call you and maybe have you just do a review for them or contact their existing and get a review. What would you recommend there? How do you go about doing that?
Either way, the question you got to ask, you can't say, is this covered? Because if it does have a special sublimit, the technical answer is, yeah, it's covered.
But only to a certain dollar amount.
Yeah, and most common are 5 or 10. And then you have other insurers that will cover it to the way State Farm writes its policy. As long as if mold is produced due to a covered peril or a covered loss, we'll pay up to the policy limits for the remediation to fix the house.
Fabulous.
And then the other one is asbestos. If you've got a popcorn ceiling, call me.
Right.
Like John said, if your house was built in the 60s, 70s, even up into the early 80s, if there's a popcorn ceiling, before the show I called a connection I have with one of the restorations companies that goes out to cover, you know, to cover losses. And there are certain companies that won't even pay the $65 for the restoration company to run the test to see if the ceiling's got asbestos or not. But he said about 95% of popcorn ceilings have.
So how do people
asbestos.
Get a hold of you? Because right now I know there's a lot of listeners out there saying, I need to talk to this guy. How do I get a hold of him?
Because those are two very common issues that, I mean, maybe you went over this on the show before, but my memory is short sometimes, and I don't remember that. So common issues, people need to look at their policies and make sure they're covered on. How can they, what's the best number to get a hold of you at?
My office number is 783-0172.
Okay, are there any other dirty little secrets we need to know about before we jump off here?
The last one, kind of tying into short sales, is there's insurance companies, if a home is left, the term is unoccupied, or there's another term, vacant.
Okay.
Meaning that you can have a seasonal home, a second home, that is, quote, unoccupied. Mm-hmm. Insurance will cover. Okay, now if you have a home that is vacant, meaning that you've left another home to move to the Tri-Cities, or you've left the Tri-Cities to move to another home and your house is, quote, vacant, and the insurance company determines it's vacant, if there's a loss, it changes the loss settlement provisions, which means your claim isn't going to get paid the way it should be.
Okay.
So a tip for folks, if they have a vacant home, or if they've left and don't plan on having, they've got a home that's listed for sale while they moved into their other home, have somebody check on it every 15 days.
Okay.
Each insurance company is going to be different. State Farm, it's 30 days, but if they have somebody who's maintaining like a written log, just saying, hey, I've been there, I've picked up the newspaper,
we've made sure that
the heat has stayed on right now in the summertime, that's not an issue, but we're just checking on the home to make sure it's still in good condition, it won't be considered vacant, it'll just be unoccupied.
Okay, and that's real life advice, folks, because I tell you what, we had a house that was listed last winter, and in one of the cold spells, it had water pipes that ran in the ceiling, and what happened is there was a failure in one of those pipes. It froze, bursted. The house was unoccupied. It was vacant. Mm-hmm. And we showed up to show the house, and I opened the door, and the door kind of would barely open because the ceiling was sagging down over the door, and there was water that had filled the complete crawl space.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, this was in Richland, in Tri-Cities. This type of stuff happens. I mean, mm-hmm. and these are real-life scenarios. And I mean, as soon as you mentioned that, I thought, because they were with State Farm, and luckily they were taken care of. But I remember specifically thinking, oh my gosh, I hope they're with somebody like State Farm. So
yes.
So that makes a lot of difference. Those are great.
I can attest to it. We are, and he didn't pay me to say this, but we're with State Farm and we're very happy.
Yeah. So do I owe you money now?
We'll talk later. My guy will call your guy.
Very, very, very good.
Well, but folks need to call their insurance agent, be it Ryan at State Farm.
Is,
and make sure that you understand your policy and what your coverages are, so that if there's any changes you need to make, you can have those made in advance of those emergencies happening.
Yeah, because we can't undo it. We can't backdate it after something happens.
Yeah.
No,
that's pretty obvious.
Backdating is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you mentioned short sales. That's what we're talking about today. I can tell you a couple different things brought this subject up for us to talk about this week. Number one is we're constantly getting updated on new information in the short sales meeting. I was very fortunate to sit in on a three-hour informational meeting with one of the top attorneys in the state of Washington covering this last week, so we had some fresh information. And then I've also started to notice over the last couple of weeks, being in the ground in the field and seeing this stuff, we have had a lot of specific calls about this the last couple of weeks that I wanted to talk to people about. There are some borderline, what I would call scams, taking advantage of going on in this foreclosure short sale marketplace. I want the consumers to know about, and also some information that can help people. So some people out there might not even know what a short sale is. So we start with the basic definition of what a short sale is. And that is when a real property, real estate, it's encumbered for more than its value, meaning more is owed on that property or against that property than what it's worth. And the key part to this definition, the second part, is the seller does not have the assets to pay the difference between the value and the debt. So meaning, because there's a big difference between if someone has to sell a house for $40,000 less than what's owed on it, and they have the $40,000 to make up the difference at closing, that's mm-hmm. not a short sale. What we're saying is they don't have the $40,000 to make up the difference. They've lost their job, they've had a medical issue, some type of emergency has happened, it's drained their other assets. When they don't have the ability to make up the difference, that's what we're in a short sale position, because basically we're asking some of the lenders in that position, instead of foreclosing, to take less than what's owed on the property.
Like if you have a $100,000 house, and or it's valued at 80 and you owe 100.
Correct.
You're going to be 20,000 short, so you're going to ask them, will you take it for 80?
Correct. And the there's a lot of things that get talked about and a lot of stuff that gets brought up. You're asking them, will you accept $80,000 and release the deed of trust on this house so that it can be sold? Then there's another conversation that'll come later that we can talk about the show. Will you consider that satisfaction of the debt, or will we end up paying back the $20,000 difference, or will we negotiate something in between where, say, the lender says, look, I realize you were short 20. This is better than a foreclosure for us. Can you give us $5,000 of that difference over the next 10 years interest free? There's a lot of different scenarios that could get worked out to handle that. Sometimes the lender will agree to accept the 80 as payment in full. Sometimes they'll ask for some sort of workout. Every situation is unique. We're seeing with between lenders, even between the same lender, with different case-by-case basis. So there's a lot that goes into it. The first thing that people need to realize and think about is a short sale right for you? Just because short sales are available, it doesn't mean it's the right thing for your situation. You need to consult with an attorney. You need to consult with a CPA to see what the tax consequences are. There's a lot of new laws that are helping homeowners in this situation, but our license doesn't allow us to give that advice for what that is. So you need to see, does your CPA say, yes, there will be negative tax consequences because of this, or no, there will not be. And another consideration is, will the lender agree? There's no reason to put that house on the market, if the lender has already said, no, we're not going to agree. Now, the hard part with this point, the people who attest to that are listening to the show that have been through this, is the hard part of this is there are some lenders out there that won't tell you if they agree to do it. There are some lenders out there that will say, bring me two offers and then we'll tell you if we'll consider it. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult, hard for agents, hard for consumers to deal with, but you can't always know ahead of time. You just can't. You just really can't know. So that's difficult. Also, it's very difficult to do a short sale when there's more than two lenders involved. It's called a lot of times people had, over the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of people get first and second mortgages on houses. Well, the first mortgage, as they would say, drives the bus in the short sale. Mm-hmm. They are making the decisions to whether this is going to go through or not based upon their net. But at the same time, the people in second position can kill the deal at any time.
Oh.
So just because you have somebody in first position saying, yeah, we'll take $5,000 less, there might have been a $20,000 second mortgage that if the first just happened to take $5,000 less, the second mortgage might not be getting any.
And these were really popular loans, the 80-10-10.
Those were really popular loans.
The 80-20 where you had a first and a second was zero money down, so there was no equity in the home starting out.
Exactly. So, and we see a lot of those in the short sale position. So you have to realize that there are two or three to up to five different moving parts here that you're trying to get everybody on the same page. Now, we are seeing that a lot of times those second lenders that had $20,000, $30,000 seconds, we are seeing a lot of times they will accept $2,000 or $3,000 as a partial payoff to sign off and let the transaction go through, because their alternative is they're probably not going to get any if it ends
up
going to
something versus nothing.
And that's how this whole process has came about in today's marketplace, just because foreclosures are expensive for banks. There's attorneys involved, there's other closing agents involved, there is time involved, there's rehabbing the property if they have to.
Yeah, because a lot of times I've seen foreclosed properties in our neighborhood and they do not get kept up.
Exactly.
And
well,
the property value plummets and they end up getting hammered, so they're almost better
and
off.
And on average, the banks are going to be spending $30,000 to $35,000 in total real cost to get a foreclosure finished up, back on the market, pay a real estate agent another commission. So when you look at a lot of times, if a bank knows they're going to be spending that $35,000, they might take $20,000 less for the property now to go through the short sale, save themselves $15,000. $10, and the consumer can get a great deal. Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of it from a buyer's perspective, of buyers looking at these short sales.
Well, because ultimately these banks want these properties off their books.
They want the properties mm-hmm. gone. They are not in the business of maintaining properties, managing properties.
Or selling and buying.
That is not what they do. So they are motivated to get rid of them, and they are streamlining that process to make it a little bit easier. Now, like we talked about, once you decide that a short sale might be for you, there's a lot of things that are going to go into this. This is a lengthy process where we might be looking at normally 30 days to close a sale. We're going to at least be talking about 90 days in this process to go through getting the bank's approval, getting back to the clients, renegotiating. There's a lot that goes into it. Now, I do know we are coming up on a break already. We've talked about a lot. This topic cannot be done justice in a 30-minute radio show. So we've just touched on a few of the points. I do, when we come back from break, I want to talk about some of the scams that are out there, some of the things to watch out for with short sales, and talk a little bit with Mr. Scott Ridgway about what is going on with lending at Cobalt Mortgage. So we will be right back after this break
on News Talk 870.
Back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about a lot of things today. We talked a little bit about some homeowners insurance policies. Our main topic today has been talking about short sales. The biggest reason is we've come across some issues recently from some national companies doing some advertising in our local area, which basically amounts to what I believe not great service and scams. And so I wanted to put out a little bit of an alert for the people on the show listening to that. People that are in a short sale position or facing foreclosure, they're facing enough problems as it is. They don't need another problem from a scam artist. It's unfortunate that I've seen this happening in real estate the last couple weeks here. When you come and work with a reputable licensed real estate agent helping with a short sale, you're getting advice from an agent that has been certified, has been to the short sale classes, knows what they're doing. And the biggest thing is they are licensed here in the state of Washington. They're in your community, and there's going to be accountability. Our staff has multiple certifications in this realm. We're here to help people in the community that are obviously hurting and have a problem. One thing you want to look out for is large upfront fees. These companies will generally provide you a snippet of information about what you need to gather, what they're going to do for you. They will usually use words promising like no deficiency judgment. 99% of the time, deficiency judgment does not apply in the state of Washington. In fact, those words with short sales are used incorrectly. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you will see words like non-recourse state. We don't know if that applies to your state when you're seeing national advertising. These are things that have to be sorted out with a local attorney that knows what they're doing and that they can help you with these. So when you see these big ads with these words and then they ask for a $2,000 upfront fee, yeah, do not pursue that. A lot of the services that they're providing are services that we would provide without any upfront fees that then would be paid at the time of a successful closing, not upfront, not dependent upon a maybe or an if. You've just really got to watch out for those. Also, it's come to light in this state recently, and a lot of people that are going at private purchasers prior to the home being listed, another time to get away from that. So, for instance, people offering that saying they have people, investors ready to buy the house right now, don't even have to put it on the market. Once again, usually the banks will require that the home goes on the market so that they know it's a market sale, that they're buying it at value. The bank will require it to be bought at value. So what these people are doing sometimes is purchasing the home prior to it actually ever being recorded, and then finding a real buyer at market value and leaving the homeowner with a huge deficiency that they owe. And there's no way to go retroactive to get that back.
And those are areas that people really need to check with attorneys, because
huge.
Make sure that you're letting people know. And again, we're not attorneys, so check with an attorney. But make sure that you're also pointing out that it's a residential situation versus a commercial situation, because different laws may apply.
So that's why we have people in these situations say, so watch out for the upfront fees. Watch out for phantom buyers. buyers and consult with somebody that's really going to put the house on the market, really get as close to a market sale as they possibly can.
Stay local.
And help you get the paperwork together. Why would someone do a short sale? Well, a lot of times it's a faster path to recovery. Most of the lending requirements say that at post short sale, you can rebuy 2 to 3 years sooner than you could if there was a foreclosure on your mm-hmm. record. So those are a couple of the reasons that people are pursuing short sales in today's market. The other big thing, another reason why I wanted to do the show, is you will get prior, it takes usually 4 to 5 months of notices to have a home foreclosed upon. That is the time period that you have to do a short sale, get a house sold. When you get the initial, what's called notice of default, then you're going to have, that starts the time clock on that 4 month period. That's the time period to contact somebody about getting your house sold. I had 2 calls last week. I know they were in hard times, desperate situation. They said, my house goes to the foreclosure auction on Friday. Is there anything you can do?
Oh.
Sad situation. I hate to get those calls. I could have done something 2.5-3 months ago when you got the notice of default. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything now. I'm sorry, but that time frame is too soon for us as agents to get a house marketed and get a market sale in place.
Even though it's tough, don't delay when you get those letters in the mail. That's the time you need to be calling people.
People do. It's fear. It's embarrassment.
Right.
And those are hard things to deal with, but we're trained to deal with those in a professional manner.
We're here to help people, yeah.
So I would say to people, because I wanted to do the show because I wanted to say, I hung up the phone with both those calls. I told my wife, gosh, I wish they would have called me 2 months ago. I could have still helped them 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple things there touching on that. I'm going to give Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage a little time to talk about mortgages. And Scott, what is going on with lending right now?
Well, what's going on is a lot of these whispers about what the U.S. Treasury is doing and some of this quantitative easing that I'm sure that since last week's show, a lot of people are listening a little bit more in the news because they're talking about it. And what that's going to do is as this quantitative easing starts to come into play, and if the federal government starts buying treasuries again as a second stimulus, we're going to see rates come down a little bit more. And what we're telling people is get ready, get your calls in, get your files put together. If a refinance makes sense for you right now, or a consolidation or anything that may even prevent a short sale, if we can get it to where it's a more affordable house payment, give us a call, 737-6004, so that we can get involved early so that it isn't coming down to the last minute when there's not a lot that we can do.
That makes a lot of sense. Once again, that mm-hmm. time frame and being prepared makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then as the short sales go, what we're really looking for, because when you've got a short sale situation, we're really looking for the contract. And if we've got a contract for a short sale, that's usually when most of the details have already been figured out. So as far as from a lending standpoint, if you're purchasing a home that's going through a short sale, it really is not any different than a normal transaction. It's the time that you're talking about, Lance, where people need 90 days to get these contracts put in place. What's the first lender on the sale doing? What's the second lender on the sale doing? What kind of number is the bank willing to take as you guys are going through that negotiation? So that's all the stuff that happens prior to us being able to get involved and help them, aside from obviously getting them approved for the loan. So and there's not really any difference from a lending standpoint
and that's
for us.
That's exactly right. One of the things, though, that I would say to the listeners that is different about Cobalt that happens in short sale situations is there are some risks that a buyer takes when they're purchasing a short sale. Number one, the buyer doesn't know if they're going to get that house for 30 to 45 days, depending. There are new programs that can be done in 30 days, but it's few and far between. So the buyer's sitting around not knowing if they're going to get that house for sure. Then a lot of times when the lender decides that they're going to approve the short sale, it's a conditional approval letter that they get saying you're going to get it and you're going to close in 20 days. That is a difficult time frame for a lot of lenders to meet. Luckily, Scott's office is usually well versed in what's happening. Mm-hmm. They've done 90% of the work that they can up to that point without that contract. And then I can tell you from experience, then they close very quickly.
It's a hurry up, wait, hurry up kind of a situation.
Exactly.
And you have to be ready.
That's exactly what happens. And I know you guys do a great job with having those files ready. And there's a lot of times people are like, oh, we got the lender approval. And the lender's like, okay, great. Now we'll order the appraisal. cycle, and now it'll be 22 days, you know, and I'm like, and I'm sitting there saying, well, 22 days, we've got an approval where we're closing in 20.
Right.
And so, you know, having somebody that knows those details and can move quickly makes a huge difference.
Definitely. I appreciate you saying that. We try.
So once again, we are going to talk with, before we run out of time, because now I'm on page 2 of 5, and
we got to get Brent in here. There's a lot going on out there with the fall coming.
I really should schedule another complete show on short sales, and we might just do that because there's a lot of great information that we covered. Before we wrap up today here, though, we did want to talk with one of our premier experts when it comes to usually outside of the house. We've never talked to Brent about inside of the house, and I don't think I'm going to.
We don't want to.
But
we don't want to.
We have Brent Gamache with Gamache Landscaping and Nursery here. There are some issues coming up in the fall, and we always try to be ahead of the curve with our listeners. Brent, what are you guys thinking about right now at Gamache, and what do we need to know?
Morning, everybody. I got probably 5 pages as well. Lots of things. You got sprinkler blowouts. You have fall pruning. You have fall fertilization for your new plants and lawn. All sorts of things. So we're actually, you know, taking our list now and getting our list together for winterization, our sprinkler blowout. So if you guys want to do that, we offer that service as well as among everything else that I listed there. 735-9100. Also, our nursery located down there at 1212 Columbia Park Trail, having fall sales on all our trees and shrubs, pottery and fountains. So it's a good time to actually go shopping. So
there you go.
You talked about that last week. Is the sprinklers blowing out? You're not going to have your irrigation water. So what's the importance of getting that fertilizer down as soon as possible so you can water it in?
Yeah. Well, usually, like irrigation water, whether you're Franklin County or KID, usually it's about 15 to the month. So having a good, you know, week of irrigating is kind of nice. So you need to probably get it down the next, you know, 2-3 weeks. And you guys that have city water, you know, you can want to, if it's not too cold in October, you can run that water longer until you blow it out. And we do that too. So we're actually going to start doing our blowouts on right at the middle of the month, running to about 3 weeks.
Perfect.
Okay.
So,
now, do we have to be existing maintenance customers to do sprinkler blowouts with you? Or if we just want to be on somebody's schedule and make sure it gets done, can we just have you do just the sprinkler blowouts?
Yep, just that. Yeah,
okay.
We can do just that. And we actually offer also in the spring is what we call a spring startup as well. And we usually take that same list and we'll call the people back and say, we'll come back out, we'll turn the timer on, we'll turn the water on, and we'll just kind of go through, make sure nothing's wrong, you know, for a small fee. And then there's anything wrong that might have gotten broken or ran over or timer quit working or something like that, then we can assess those problems at that time.
It seems to never fail for me. One of those little rubber diaphragms gets cracked in the winter. Even, yeah. I mean, just from cold weather or being old. And next thing you know, my garden runs for 3 days on cycle 10 or something.
Yep. You know, here's a question I had is, how are Halloween decor sales going? Because aren't you guys selling all kinds of stuff now?
On the Christmas lights that we started the franchise, yes, they actually have Thanksgiving, they have Valentine's Day, and they have some Halloween decorations. So we actually have just getting started on that. So, but we do offer that as well, and we're actually still waiting for the manufacturer to give us their final price sheet so we can actually produce some.
Get some neighborhood competition going with those Halloween lighting packages.
That's right. We were even trying to figure out what you could do in terms of Halloween, then Thanksgiving, then Christmas. But, of course, the light colors are always different, you know, in terms of orange and blacks and whites for Halloween. So we're trying to figure out why we could actually just, you know, show up in October, do something for Halloween, add a little more for Thanksgiving, and then add a little more for Christmas.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That's a great idea to build on kind of an existing idea and go with it.
Yeah.
Well, so they can see you from outer space.
There you go.
Right.
Well, very good, Brent. So a lot to think about. Don't forget your fall maintenance, and don't forget Gamache. I know we use them. They do a ton of our work at the house, and it just always looks fabulous. So
thank you.
Thanks again for coming in, Brent. And Scott, I guess we're going to, you know, put our address down for some sprinkler blowouts here.
Yeah, it's coming right around the corner.
Very good. Well, now we've gone over our allotted time. Those of you that are still listening to us, we appreciate you hanging in there for the long show today. John's giving me the cut sign that we're about off the air. So we are going to get out of here. For any questions I didn't answer in this show, show, give me a call direct on my cell phone, 727-8977, or anytime, feel free to catch a replay of the show at kenmoreteam.com for the podcasting. And Scott, how can folks get a hold of you?
Give me a call at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004. Everything you'd expect from your experienced local lender.
All right. Well, we will talk to everybody next week, and I think we're going to have a new guest in the studio, so I'm excited. We'll talk to everybody next week on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
You're on News Talk 870.